What an honor it is for me to do this. If ever was a time it made my day was when they called to tell me that the board of directors had made the decision to award my award to Colin Peterson and asked if I could be here to present it. Well, I can't tell you how meaningful that was. It was an emotional time for me. So I'm really glad to do that. And Colin and I go back a long ways. And I knew his family. I know his mom and dad. He comes from good stock. He's got six sisters, so he was raised with seven women around him, and you don't understand why he didn't get married, I suppose. But anyway, he really has been a long-standing hallmark for agriculture. And, as I've followed my life through agriculture, he seems like he's always been there. And I guess of all the things I was thinking I wanted to say was that he's always been there. That I wanted to say was that we need 228 more congressmen just look like Colin Peterson, we'd have a hell of a good country. So that should be our progress. So, but anyway, it's been an honor to work with him and participate with him, and I can't think of enough. I thought of a lot of things that need to be said. We have two. One point I want to make is that we have a couple of things that the ethanol industry and Colin are pretty similar in. In my community, and I think most farm communities, if you look, farmers have probably tripled their net worth in the last 10 years. There's two reasons for that. One of them is Colin Peterson has got you a farm bill. And I don't think you'd had a farm bill the last two farm bills if you wouldn't have had Colin Peterson. So I think that's it. The second thing is, it's pretty similar to that, is it contributes to that. The ethanol industry has played a hell of a contribution in raising that farm income and balancing supply with demand. So it's really come to get, he's come together and he's so well deserving of this. Colin, if you want to, can you climb up here like I did? I've got a couple of things I want to do. The first thing I want to do is I'm going to make a sacrifice.
Uh-oh.
And I have a pin that I've wore a long time in my life here. And this pin will get you about anything you want in life. So you got to wear it.
Okay.
You know, they got to wear it now. And it's an ethanol pin with a flag on it. And you don't have... If you're not wearing the suit, you can
put it on your shirt.
You can put it on your shirt. You can wear it on your underwear, your pajamas. You know,
yeah.
Put it on your pajamas.
What if you don't wear pajamas?
Well, take your picture, and
all right.
Some nice ladies will call you. So we'll put this on you first.
Okay.
I'm so shaky there.
You get it.
Oh, this didn't look good on you. Now, this is going to make your life better.
All right. That's what I need.
Yeah, you would get more friends in Congress. Now, if you're going to run for election, wear that pin.
Okay.
Yep.
Right.
You wear that pin.
I will. Say.
And I tell you what, I'm going to make another sacrifice.
Uh-oh.
I put it in this pocket, I think. Yeah, here it is. I'm going to contribute $5 to your campaign because we want to get you elected. No, we want you to spend this very carefully, get on TV if you can.
Yeah, so.
And I'd encourage anybody else as a big spender like me to to do the same damn thing. So anyway, we hope you're reelected. I don't mind coming right out and campaigning for you. So I don't think it'll help much, but
it won't hurt.
So anyway, Colin, consider yourself now a member of the
Merle Anderson
Award family. So,
okay.
So
I'm honored.
Thank you.
I'm honored.
You tell them. And I wanted to say that, Colin, you've been standing up with us. Keep doing it.
No, I'm not going to change.
Don't ever back down.
No, I won't.
Okay. Thank you. So now you give me your story.
All right. Well, I haven't got much of a story compared to Merle. But I didn't always used to be as popular as I am. I'm maybe not popular now either, but I I ran a number of times before I got elected. And one election I lost by 100 votes, and when that thing got over, nobody liked me very much at all. But Merle Anderson never wavered. He was there behind me the whole way, and a few years later, we got elected to Congress. So it's because of people like Merle that I've been able to have the opportunity to serve in Congress and to be able to do the things that that I've been able to do, which has been a real privilege. And, this goes for me back to when I was a kid and watching my folks struggle to survive on the farm. We're in the potato business, and there was no crop insurance. And I tried to farm one year and got wiped out. And we flooded out three times that year. I planted 800 acres of potatoes. I planted 240 acres three times. Never harvested a thing. So that cured me of farming.
Typical.
Yeah.
Typical.
And I remember when I was just a kid, I was maybe 6 years old, we were just having a heck of a time on the farm. It was like 1949, 50. And Truman just got elected. And Truman put in the 49 farm bill. And that saved our farm. And it made our family Democrats because, it was no question what the Democratic Party stood for at that time. So we were right at the brink, and that 49 law, which is still the underlying permanent law in the Congress, in the country, brought those prices back to a percentage of parity and saved our farm and a lot of other farms. So Eisenhower gets elected, 1952, puts this Ezra Taft Benson character from Utah in there as the Ag Secretary, and they got rid of it. And then the tough times came back again. So it didn't, I'm kind of a thick-headed Norwegian, like Earl is. But, I was smart enough to figure out, who was on the right side. And so when I had an opportunity to serve in Congress, and to have something to say about how these things are going to go, there was no question what I was going to do. And so, as Merle said, the 2008 Farm Bill has been proclaimed as one of the best that we've ever had. And if you look at what happened with prices from the time we passed that bill until the one we pass now, we went through the best time in agriculture that I can ever remember.
That's right.
And it wasn't just the Farm Bill, but that was a good part of it. And we got a pretty good farm bill this time as well. It's not as good as it needs to be, but it's as good as we could get under the circumstances. And we still, on the committee, work on a bipartisan basis, and we will continue to do that as long as I'm there and Frank Lucas is there, and I think Conaway will be the same. The other thing that happened in agriculture, and Merle is a good part of this, and that is if these renewable fuels, ethanol, changed the marketplace and took the overhang off of the market and helped us, get prices that were where they needed to be. And that's why our opponents continue to fight us, because they want $1.85 corn. And I've had them say that to my face. And I keep telling these guys, what are you smoking? You know, that if we get $1.85 corn, there isn't going to be any corn, because nobody can grow corn for $1.85, and the government is not going to be there to subsidize it like we were back in the 20 years when we had cheap corn prices. And ethanol made that difference. It made the change in the marketplace so that the government didn't have to subsidize every bushel. And it would be a huge mistake for us to back off of that. And so I'm going to do everything I can to fight these guys. I sat on the floor of the House last week behind Bob Goodlatte and another guy who were lobbying Fred Upton, the chairman of the Energy and Commerce Committee, trying to convince him to bring up the bill to get rid of the RFS. And Frank, I saw Fred tell him no, you know, and so thank God. But it's not that I don't know that, I'm not sure he's on our side, but he just figured the politics were such that this would not be smart for them, you know, politically in the election, whatever it was. So we've still got work to do in Congress. We got work to do with the EPA. We got work to do with some folks in the administration. But, you know, we're going to keep plugging away. We have a good Ag Secretary, Tom Vilsack, who I see won this award last year, is one of the most knowledgeable people in ethanol in the country. He does an outstanding job in the administration, arguing for us and explaining to people how this works. And, you know, it's been a great success story. And Merle Anderson was there at the beginning and saw the vision, saw the opportunity, saw how this could work. And he was just telling me how he went down to Nebraska and saw the economics with the DDGs and so forth and how this could happen. And because of people like him, it did happen. And I was in the legislature at the time. I got elected in 1976. I authored a loan guarantee bill that we put together with Jim Nichols that was used to build the first ethanol plant in Minnesota at Marshall Cooperative. So I've been working on this almost as long as Merle Anderson, but not quite.
Yep, pretty
and yes, probably not as effectively. So this is a great honor. I'm glad to be able to call Merle Anderson and his family my friends. They've been great to me over the years. They've been great for our part of Minnesota and for the country, and we appreciate that. And it's because of this family and people like Merle that this country is what it is, the great country that it is. And I'm proud to be able to represent them. So thank you all very much. I appreciate it.
When I got this microphone, I got one other thing I got to do. I got to do one other thing, if you'll hold. Yep. Yeah, I'm not. Hey, we got a standing applause. I shouldn't have interrupted.
No,
that.
No, no. That's
what a bummer.
No.
Folks, I can't let you go without introducing. I'm proud to have my family with me to this trip. I couldn't have made it if they wouldn't have joined me. And my wife Lee here. We have celebrated our 70th wedding anniversary now. She spent the first 30 years with a husband that didn't know or talk about nothing but potatoes. Then she put in about 20 years with a husband that didn't know nothing to talk about anything but rural electrics and REAs and things. And then the last 30 years, she's had to listen to ethanol all the time. And you folks ought to have a lot of sympathy for it. And she is the only lady that's attended every ethanol conference since we started this organization. So she is the first lady of ethanol. And I don't want you to forget that. I have to do this. And then I have a daughter. If you haven't met Barb, you should. You're going to love her. Because she's a people person. I don't know where the hell she got that. Her mom, I think so. Yeah. So we're proud to have her along. And then we have Lacey, our granddaughter. She likes to do things for her grandpa and grandma. So, and she came along too to take kids. She wanted to see this event happen. And so thank you, everybody, for the, you're all so cordial and grateful to me. Thank you, like you have been all my life. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.